Church, thank you so much for hanging out with us today right here at Three Trees Church Online. We are so excited that we get to worship with you, and we believe that we are going to experience Jesus Christ through worship and a powerful word. We encourage you, as always, stay connected with us by sharing the content and stay submitted to Christ. We believe that you are in the right place at the right time.
All right, I want you to look with me at the book of Romans, chapter number 13. And we're going to read just one verse. It's verse number 11. It's Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. And I'm throwing those guys in the back a little bit of a curveball, so I'm going to give them a minute to grab it. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Just look over at somebody and tell them, get woke. Get woke, yeah. Yeah. For those of you that have no clue what that means, just look at them and tell them, wake up. It'll work. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Knowing the time. It's important to know the time. But when you know the time, you're going to realize it will be high time to awake. And the reason you got to wake up is because things might be nearer than you believed, nearer than you understood, nearer than you first thought. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, help me. And I ask you, Father, to give me an unction that can come only from heaven. And God, I pray that you would keep the door of my mouth, and that, Lord, there would be nothing today that I would say that would be contrary to your word, but, Father, that everything that would be communicated from the platforms of Three Trees today, Lord, would be yielded first and foremost to you, and that, God, you would help me to yield your sword, the sword of your spirit, with skillfulness. You would show me where to pierce, and you would show me where to heal, and that, God, I would never sheath that sword in political correctness, but that, God, there would be unction and anointing. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. And this church said, amen. Amen and amen. I want to draw your attention to a passage of text. It's a passage of text that I've actually been seeing all over the place. Until March of 2020, I don't know that I had ever really seen this verse posted on social media a single time. Now I tend to see it on a daily basis multiple times. It's Romans chapter 13, and it's verse number 1. It says this: let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, or bring judgment on themselves. Anybody else seen that verse recently? Nobody. Okay. I know that you online, just do a quick search there, you're going to see it several times. The thing that has been kind of brought to light in a concept such as this is, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power, I want to make sure everybody gets it, but of God. For the powers that be are ordained of God. So if you resist the power or the governmental authority, you resist the ordinance of God, and thereby you receive judgment. Many times throughout trying to teach the Word of God to our congregation, I've brought up the point that I believe is very real and very true, and it is this: any text without context is a con. Yeah. So anytime that you're reading a text, you can't just pick out a verse, or even sometimes you can't just pick out two or three verses. What you have to do is you have to take Scripture in the full counsel, the whole counsel of the Word of God. And what that means is that it's not just contextually placed as a verse or two within a chapter, but many times you have to look at the whole chapter itself, or you have to look at the entire book itself. And so when you begin to take Romans chapter 13 in context, what you'll see is that the book of Romans, even as you enter into chapter 12, Paul makes a statement. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that your life might be holy and acceptable unto the Lord. So what did he just say not to do? He said, do not ever be conformed to the world. Your life is going to need to be something that is pleasing unto God. But as Paul is talking through this, he then transitions into a statement to help us understand that God, as he's establishing his body, is not calling us to go and begin to just establish political things in the earth. But what we are first and foremost called to establish is the kingdom of heaven being made manifest in the earth. And so what Paul begins to teach is that as you're attempting to be the body of Christ in the earth, that it doesn't give you the authorization to not listen to the laws that are proposed. However, there seems to be some exceptions within context in Scripture, because the very man who was writing this had been in prison, would wind up in prison two times for disobeying the law. That nearly every disciple of Jesus Christ would end up in prison or martyred for disobeying the law. We look at stories like Daniel, who is thrown into a lion's den because he is disobeying the law. You find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There is an ordinance from a king. And as the ordinance is released, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego make their backs like T-rails, and they refuse to bow and compromise because they are disobeying the ordinance. So how do you rationalize this? How do you put all this together? Listen, I think one of the things that we have to realize is that there is going to come a time where that there will be great offense to the name of Jesus in all the earth. And in that moment, the thing you have to realize is it doesn't matter what you quit and it doesn't matter what you give up. If the law ever tells you that you cannot preach the name of Jesus Christ, you better stand and decree and declare that at the name of Jesus, every tongue must confess, every knee must bow, and ultimately every demon must flee. And so the reason it's important to understand context in Scripture is because what I'm starting to see is that I believe the enemy is going to start taking a verse here and a verse there, and he's going to try and twist them. And he is never more potent at that than when you are in a wilderness environment. And all throughout Scripture, wilderness environments are likened unto transition. Does anybody remember when Jesus went into the wilderness? And he went into the wilderness and the devil showed up and he started twisting Scripture. But the thing was, he was talking to the Word and Jesus started talking back to him and put him in his place. And so it's not about being authorized to go and start arguing what this Scripture means and what that Scripture means and trying to convince everybody else to see it your way. You just need to know what you believe, and you need to stand for what you believe, and you need to get some things straight. That even in Romans chapter 13, can I just throw a few things in here? In Romans chapter 13, it says clearly that we are to, obviously within reason, obey laws and ordinances. Watch this, but it goes on and it says, verse number 5, that you need to do this so that you won't experience wrath or anything for your conscience sakes. Verse 6, for with this cause you are to pay your taxes. Well, wait. For this cause you are to pay your taxes. If you ain't paid your taxes, shut up. Oh, I can't. I'm sorry. I feel a little ornery there. If you're trying to, okay. I'm just going to move on because obviously it's getting real tense. Render therefore all that is due, taxes to whom the taxes are due, custom to whom custom, and fear whom you're to fear and honor him. Oh, watch this. Verse number 8, owe no man anything. So sometimes if you're going to read things literally, there's going to need some things you need to get straight. So if you're going to take one verse and you're going to try to just make it the doctrine that you stand on, then you're going to want to also take verse number 8 and realize you need to get out of debt right now and never owe anybody anything else. Nope. I didn't expect a whole lot of help this morning. That's why I really wanted the first two. there's some points that I think you have to get in your spirit, is that don't just ever let anybody take one verse and try to draw some lines. And there are some things that we are absolutely, positively commanded to do in Scripture. And it is not just that we are commanded to preach and decree the name of Jesus, but the Bible also gives us a command in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, that says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and even more so as the day approaches." Now, I don't know what all that means when it comes to how we can assemble or how we should assemble or what we, but to the best of our ability, we are called to obviously honor some laws and honor some ordinances, but we are also commanded that we are to assemble together. And now, because of technology, I get it. There's different ways that that can come to pass, but there is something to be said when God's people gather together and to begin to declare the name of Jesus in corporate unison. Something happens on the other side of that. I've been saying privately for a number of weeks and a number of months, our staff would testify for this, that the thing that is going to happen in the United States of America and across the world is the enemy is coming for the song. I've been decreeing it and declaring it, have I not, Jason Hood? And I don't say that just to try to make a point. Eric was right and others were wrong. I'm saying this. I just have felt in my spirit, I've felt deep down in my heart that there's something that the enemy hates, and it is that you would praise God. Let me take you all the way back. Let me take you all the way back to heaven. Can we go all the way back to the beginning of time? Before there's a man, before there's a woman, God is sitting on his throne. Satan, who was Lucifer at that time, according to Ezekiel and other books of the Bible, is doing what? He is leading worship in heaven. He's even got instruments in his body. He's leading worship and he's giving it unto God. But one day he decides he wants to be on the throne. He wants to be on the throne, so he persuades one third of the angels in heaven to lead a revolt against God because he doesn't want to give the worship to God. He wants the worship for himself. And so what we understand is that Scripture is clear. You enter into the presence of God with singing. Specifically singing. And then it talks about a joyful noise, which includes all those things that are elements of worship. And what does God say? He says, I will inhabit the praises of my people. So let me just give you this straight. I don't care if you're in the room today or you're at home. Don't you ever let the enemy take your song. When it comes time to worship, when it comes time to give God glory, you ought to throw your hands up in the air and you ought to sing with everything that's within you, because you say, I got to get into the presence of God. I can't do this without the presence of God. I got to have him inhabit my praise. Don't you ever let anybody praise by proxy for you. Give him your voice. Give him your song. Give him your praise. Because there's only one thing that brings true liberty on earth, and it is the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. And so the thing that we can talk about all the things that makes a government great. But at the end of the day, there's only one thing that brings true freedom and true liberty in the earth, and it is the Spirit of the Lord. And the best thing that can happen in our nation right now would be a decree and a call for the people of God to start praying. For the people of God to start praying. You know what happened in the Old Testament over and over again when something would go wrong? They would call a solemn assembly. They would bring people together and they would pray and they would cry out to God in repentance of, God, whatever we did that caused this thing to get off track, we repent of it and we ask you now, God, to bring it back to restoration. Revive us again. So here's what I want to point out to you. Obviously, it's time to get woke. Amen. Because Romans chapter 13, verse number 11, is the same context we're talking about, just to prove to you it's in here, okay? Romans chapter 13, because I know all y'all can see this. Y'all got incredible. Y'all do have some pretty incredible vision. The other day, I was at a gas station, and a man walked up to me, and he handed me $50. I said, sir, what's this for? He said, well, when you were preaching, I saw you had a hole in your boot, and I figured if you couldn't afford some new shoes, I ought to help you get some. Thank you, sir. So Romans chapter 13. It's talking about all these stuff, and it gets over here, and it says, verse number 11, you better know what time it is. Come on. Context. You better know what time it is, because it's time to get woke up. Your salvation may be nearer than you believe. If you ever were awake, right about now is the time to be awake. And my greatest concern for our nation and the globe is that if this thing relents, we will go back to normal. And people who are getting woke up will say, well, if that wasn't it, I don't guess Jesus is ever coming. Well, if that wasn't it, I don't guess the end of time is ever going to unfold like the book of Revelation. I guess it's all just a fairy tale. I guess it's all just a story. I can't tell you how it plays out. I can't tell you how it unfolds, but I can tell you this, you better get woke up. And as you are getting awakened, I just think we need some reminders. And so as I've been praying for our church and thinking about, like, what does the future look like and how do we do this, I just feel like the Lord's been saying to me, just take it back to the basics, take it back to the simplicity of what you are called to do as a follower of Jesus Christ. And I want to show you, when Jesus Christ come to the earth, in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse number 10, he tells us why he came to the earth. The one-minded mission of Jesus Christ. Verse number 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the number one reason that Jesus came to earth. You want to be like Jesus? Seek the lost so that Jesus can save them. Put that at the forefront of your life. Let it be like a laser beam, a laser focus on your life, that I'm going to find somebody that's lost and I'm going to introduce them to Jesus Christ. I'm going to be an ambassador for Jesus. I'm going to be a witness for Jesus. I'm going to let them know that they need Jesus. Even if they call me a Jesus freak, even if they think I've lost my mind for Jesus, seek and save the lost. The harvest is ripe, but the Bible says that God has trouble finding laborers. And if you've not been provoked to lead a lost person to Jesus or to seek out a lost person in these recent weeks, in these recent months, you need to have a heart check before the Lord and ask him, am I a laborer? God, am I a laborer? God, you need to labor in your family. You need to labor in your friends. You need to labor in your workplace. You need to find lost people and pray that God would make you wise so that you could be a part of winning them to the Lord. It's not just about harping, and it's not just about trying to pick on everybody, and it's not trying to act like you got it figured out and they don't. But with wisdom, invite the Lord to show you how to seek the lost. That's something I'm asking God to really put a focus in our church about, is as we move forward to seek the lost so that Jesus can save them. Can I get an amen somewhere? Seek the lost so that Jesus can save them. Let me give you a second thing that I think is just absolutely taking it back to the basics. As a follower of Jesus and as a church that's trying to honor Jesus, Matthew chapter number 28, it says this in verse number 16, there's 11 disciples. They went into Galilee. Jesus had appointed them in this place previously. Verse number 12, it's when they saw him, they worshiped him. Verse number 18, Jesus came and he said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Watch this, verse number 19. So you now go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe the things whatsoever I have commanded unto you. Here's the deal. Back to the basics. You got to get people baptized. You have to baptize people. Well, you seek the lost. That gives Jesus the opportunity to save them. You just perform a part of the introduction of the two. But after they have professed Jesus as Savior, we are called of God to baptize people. Boy, that's elementary, isn't it? Maybe we ought to go back to go to the creek and just put some people in the water today. Watch this. Verse number 19, go ye therefore and make disciples. So we're called to seek the lost so that Jesus can save them. We're called to baptize those new believers. And then we are called and ordained of God to make disciples. Look at somebody and tell them, make disciples. I'm not sure they got it. Look at them again. I'm telling them, make disciples. Make disciples. What are you saying, preacher? There is a mandate on our lives to teach the Word of God so that we can equip other people to do the ministry of Jesus Christ. But before you can make a disciple, you've got to be one. And to be a disciple, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. You can go look up the message if you didn't get to hear it. It talks about what a true disciple is, and it is somebody who listens and somebody who learns. And I believe that God is calling us back to the simplicity of make disciples. Raise up people who will listen and learn. Raise up people who will get the Word of God in them, and they'll understand what it means to have Scripture in context for such a time as this, as they are awakened to what's happening in the world, and at the same time, they will be equipped to not just sit there and consumed, but equipped to contribute and add to what God wants to do in the earth. That everywhere that you walk as a disciple of Jesus Christ, do you realize that you take the kingdom of heaven with you? Because there is a king living on the inside of you, and he has sat down on the throne of your heart. And so when you walk into a building, he walks in with you. And his intent is to bring the kingdom of heaven into earth, whether it's your home, or it's your workplace, or it's your school system, or it's Walmart, or it's Dollar General, or wherever you happen to be standing. And when you leave here today, that you bring the kingdom of heaven with you as a disciple. So the first question would be is, are you becoming a disciple? And then secondly, are you a part of helping to make disciples? Make disciples. See, I think the enemy tries to take the word. He tries to overcomplicate it. He tries to make us think that it's something we can't get a hold of. He tries to make us think that it's overly mysterious. And there's elements of it that's just so simple. Seek the lost. So that Jesus can save them. Be a part of helping to baptize new believers. And then make disciples. You were expecting something more profound? It's not finished. There's a few other things you probably need to see. Watch this. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 34. When you're standing before the throne of judgment at the end of time, the king will say to those on his right hand, come, be blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom, heaven, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when did we do any of these things? Verse 40, and the king will answer and say, when you done it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. So here's a fourth thing about being a follower of Jesus Christ. As you're getting woke up, as you're being awakened, that as you're being awakened to your purpose on the earth, I'm going to recap again, you're going to seek the lost, amen? You're going to see to it that we baptize new believers. We're going to make disciples as we are becoming one, amen? But then fourthly, we're going to find needs and we're going to meet them. And when we find needs and we meet them, what you have to realize is that sometimes when you're meeting a material need, you are opening people up to a spiritual truth. It helps them to know that they matter. Here's why this is so important. Verse number 41. And then he will turn to those on his left hand, and he will say, depart from me. Depart from me. You're going to be gone into the fire. Watch this. That was prepared for the devil and his angels. Just look at somebody and tell them, hell wasn't made for you. But you can go there. Okay. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. All these things. And then they will answer and say, Lord, when did we see these things and not do them? Verse number 45. And he will answer and say, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it unto the least, you did not do it unto me. Watch this, verse number 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What's it saying? It is not saying that you are saved by works. No man can be saved by works lest he would be able to boast. We are only saved by the grace of God. It's the only way we're saved. But what Matthew 25 seems to be pointing to is that one of the testimonies that you've had something happen in your heart is that you'll get beyond yourself. That it will be a testimony of that you truly got the goods, that you truly were born again, that you truly were saved, that somebody who's truly had that kind of an experience with Jesus is going to be somebody who's going to look beyond their own needs and try to meet the needs of other people. So we find needs and we meet them. How do we do that? Clothe the naked. Feed the hungry. We're going to visit the people who are in prison. We're going to care for the people who are sick. It says that you gave house to a stranger, so you're going to make sure that there's shelter for the homeless. And then James, the brother of Jesus, added to it, and he said, you also need to make sure you're taking care of the widows and the orphans. And I'm telling you, as we move into the future, that is something that we're drawing a line in the sand as a church, and we're going to be super intentional about doing those five or six things as we are finding needs and we are meeting them. And when you see a Captivate event unfolding and you see us finding needs and meeting them, it's going to be in one of those categories as we try to do what it is that God is calling us to do in the name of Jesus. Let me give you one final thing as we're just getting woke up to the Lord. You see, it's actually in Acts chapter number 1, it's verse number 8. I want you to see how all this is going to come to pass. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Yeah. How do you seek the lost? You don't do it by your might nor by your power. Before you start any of this, you need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you need to understand that when the Holy Spirit has a relationship with you, He endues you with power if you would be willing to receive it. And it is a power that is not of this world. It is beyond this world. And we can get caught up in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for them. We can get caught up in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for it. But the one thing you need to know that is, in my mind, as I understand Scripture, the most important thing about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, when you get the power of it, it will make you bold as a lion. He says, I will give you power, not to manifest the gifts. That's not what he said. Even though you get gifts, he said, covet the best ones. He said, I will give you power, not just so you can have fruit and everybody can talk about what a patient person you are. That's awesome. But he says, I will give you power. Why? So that you can be witnesses into the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the number one thing the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, is to make you bold as a lion when it comes to seeking the lost. To bring a motivation to your heart that there are people who are going to go to that place that was prepared for the devil if I don't get my act together and get involved in trying to win more people to Jesus Christ. And so I would just say to you, as never before, it's time to welcome the Holy Spirit. Welcome the Holy Spirit in your life. And when you get up in the morning, just don't let the enemy overcomplicate it for you. That, hey, if I'm a follower of Jesus, I need to seek somebody that's lost because they need to be found. If I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I need to be a disciple and I need to help make disciples. And I get to be a part of the celebration of those people being baptized. And I, if I'm a follower of Jesus, then, man, I need to be finding needs and meeting them. I need to get beyond whatever I'm doing at my place and whatever it is I'm saving up for. And I need to find some needs and meet them. And I think when you get in a time where there's a crunch on you, you can get so self-focused that all you can think about is what you might lose if you don't keep hoarding. And there's never more time where the true faith of your generosity is tested than when you're under attack. Because in that moment is where you get to show the faith of, God, I see beyond myself. You've truly touched my heart. You've truly done something in me, God, that coincidence can't take the credit for. I'm different as a result of this experience with you. Find needs and meet them. But I'll say this to you, and I'm going to get out of your way. I'm going to ask them just to start playing some music softly. In all of that, don't you miss a relationship with the Holy Spirit. There were men in the book of Acts and women who were a part of a church that when the disciples showed up and began to minister there, they asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they looked at him and they said, what do you mean, Holy Spirit? We've not heard anything about him. And they said, well, there's something that God has beyond you, for you, just beyond this little current experience that you've had up to this point. And I think there's so many people that just settle for, okay, I got my little to-do list for God, and I'm gonna make sure that I do these three things. That this is more than a to-do list. This is the reality of heaven and hell. I once heard the story, true story, of a man who was ministering to an atheist. And the atheist just stopped him. He said, wait a second. Whoa. I don't believe a word you're saying to me about this God. Well, why, sir? Because you're telling me that if I serve him, I get heaven. And if you're telling me if I don't serve him, I get hell. I don't believe it.
Well, sir, why does that turn you off so bad? He said, because you describe this place called hell as a place where the worm doesn't die, a place where there's gnashing of teeth, a place where there's perpetual fire for all of eternity, a place where that there's pain beyond anything anyone could ever imagine because of this going against God. This is where he sends you. You're telling me it's, what? Well, yes, sir, that's real. That's true. Yeah, but I don't believe it. Well, why not? Because you don't believe it. Yes, sir, I do. That's why I'm trying to share it with you. No, sir, you don't believe it. Because if you did, you'd crawl across broken glass from L.A. to New York to keep one person from going there. I've never forgotten the relaying of that story to me. Because I believe when we really begin to recognize we deal in the merchandise of eternity. Hear me, we deal in the merchandise of eternity. And that even right now, as we're in this moment, people have either gotten closer to one of two end of time geographical locations. And our job is to be the go-between. And all this temporal thing is an investment in what our eternity looks like. And if we really believe that, if we really believe that there's an eternity that waits for us that is beyond anything we could ever imagine in regards to the riches of God's grace and presence, first and foremost, then how is it that we get so distracted with trying to build these temporal paradises? How is it that we get so focused on trying to seek this next thing that gives us some kind of earthly pleasure? And it's not bad to have earthly pleasure, and it's not bad to have nice things. What is an issue is when it takes precedence in our life and it takes priority in our life, and we miss that we are first and foremost called to follow Jesus in seeking the lost as we are endued with the power of the Holy Spirit to make it happen. That's the thing that we're called to. Father, I ask you this morning that if there be any of us that are far from you, that you would bring us near. I thank you, Lord, that you shed the blood of your Son, Jesus, so that we could have everlasting and eternal life. I thank you, God, that you are calling, I believe, churches all across this globe back to the basics, that you're calling us to a place, Lord, where that we begin to truly get woke, Lord, to be awakened to things in our life that needs to change, mentalities that need to change, stuff about the way we've approached even other people that need to change. But God, above all else, our relationship with you and your relationship with others. Help us, Lord, to love you and to love others. Help us, God, to wake up and to make our life about seeking the lost. That, God, we would be driven and motivated to receive the power of the Holy Spirit that comes with the wisdom of heaven to seek the lost. And that, God, Three Trees and every other church would become a place that testifies of the lost and the found. God, maybe there's somebody under the sound of my voice today that feels lost, that feels far away, and that right now, God, they're throwing their hand up in surrender and they're just completely and totally submitting to you. No more running away. No more arguing with you, Lord. No more excuses. Just waking up, God. And in this moment, confessing sins and thanking you for the blood of the Lamb that would cause those sins to be washed away. And that, God, as you give us a born-again experience, as we even maybe, God, have a moment of rededicating our life, that as we are found in your grace, God, that we would become disciples who are endued with power to seek the lost as we find needs and meet them. Lord, let it happen. And I pray that, God, our gatherings would overflow with the celebrations of baptisms, a people going public with their faith, testifying, the old man, the old woman is dead. The new man, the new woman is alive. Lord, let it be done. Let it be done. And God, somebody today that's even praying the prayer of salvation, give them the courage to go public with their faith. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Listen, I want to thank you so much today for giving me the chance to share the word with you. I hope you know my heart. I hope you know the place from where I'm doing the best I can to relay what I feel like the Lord's given me. But whether you're here in this building or you're there at home, want to give you just a chance to continue to seek the Lord in your own way. As you do so, for those of you that are here in this room, I want to ask Corey and the team to step out here and just to kind of lead you in a further moment of worship. And if you're there at home, I want to challenge you, man. If God's done something in your life today, please shoot us a message. Put something in the comment sections. Follow one of those links. Let us know what happened so we can pray with you and we can pray for you.
Thank you so much for joining us for Worship and Word at Three Trees Church Online. We are grateful to have you and your family with us today. I want to let you know life-giving ministry is still moving forward here at Three Trees because of people just like you. We are finding needs and meeting them. If you would like to worship the Lord with us through giving of tithes and offering today, there are three ways in which you can do that. You can mail your check to P.O. Box 399. That's in Columbia, Kentucky. You can also text the word give to the number on your screen, or you can visit us at threetrees.com/give. Your giving is making a difference, not only in people's lives, but in people's eternities. God bless you and thank you for your faithfulness. I want to encourage you, stay connected to God in this season, now more than ever.
Church, we thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We want to encourage you to stay connected with us, and as always, share this content. We want you to stay submitted to Christ during this season. We believe that greater things are yet to come, in Jesus' name.